Hello, I'm David Hennick, Program Coordinator of the CSIS Africa Program. Today, I'm sitting down with Ambassador Tim Carney, the last accredited U.S. Ambassador to Sudan, to talk about his recent chapter on conflict resolution in Africa for the CSIS Africa Policy Review. The chapter is part of a larger, forthcoming CSIS publication entitled Beyond the Bush Administration's Africa Policy, Recommendations for the Obama Administration. Ambassador Carney, thank you very much for sitting down with me today to talk about U.S. efforts to resolve conflict in Africa.
You're welcome.
Ambassador Carney, I wonder if we could start by first having you describe how the current levels of conflict on the African continent have changed since President Bush took office in 2001.
I think if we look at the levels of conflict in Africa, there are two points that are of particular merit to highlight. First is there are fewer, relatively fewer, in fact, absolutely fewer conflicts. And second, there are many more governments now that reflect the popular will rather than the ascendancy of some dictator throughout Africa. This is not to minimize the reality of conflict in the Horn of Africa, for example, Somalia and Sudan as two examples, in Central Africa with the Eastern Congo continuing to be worrisome, and even in Southern Africa with a fragile coalition recently established in Zimbabwe.
And Ambassador Carney, how would you assess the Bush administration's performance regarding conflict resolution in Africa?
The Bush administration actually addressed conflict, violent and armed conflict in Africa with a strong focus on the multilateral requirement for real solutions there. And you can illustrate that by looking at the fact that the Bush administration approved every UN Security Council Chapter 7 resolution for addressing the various conflicts during the 8 years of President Bush's tenure. This multilateral dimension was particularly useful in bringing about resolutions in West Africa, where indeed the British and the French were particularly active, but UN missions through the economic community there in West Africa were also implemented. The only exception, of course, would be Liberia, where the United States, because of its special relationship with Liberia and its long-standing role in that country, proved to be very efficacious in bringing about the democracy we see flourishing there today.
Ambassador Carney, I wonder, one of the signature initiatives of the Bush administration seems to have been its policies towards the Sudan. Can you talk a little bit about the accomplishments of the Bush administration or lack thereof during the Bush administration?
On Sudan, I think the key was a very early engagement on the issue of Sudan by the president himself. He was particularly interested and concerned at what was going on in Sudan, which at that time, you'll recall back in early 2001, was a civil war between the North and the South. The Darfur issue had not yet broken out into an active insurgency. Essentially, because the Sudanese responded to the Bush administration's concerns about terrorism, a response that was rooted in decisions in the very late days of the Clinton administration, the president decided to send a special envoy. And that special envoy, Senator John Danforth, essentially ignited a process of negotiation through the regional group, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development. The U.S. helped spark an international troika of three countries, expanded to four, that supported the regional mediation process and helped the north and the south of Sudan, which had been fighting off and on civil war for about 50 years, to realizing the comprehensive peace agreement that was signed on the 9th of January, 2005. You can't praise too highly the Bush administration for its focus and its determination and its willingness to commit people and financial resources to reaching a negotiated solution, and then, at least initially, until Darfur, for backing that solution up.
So Sudan was obviously a key policy issue throughout the Bush years, but it's been considerably rejuvenated recently with the International Criminal Court recently announcing that it plans to decide whether or not it will prosecute Sudanese President Bashir for crimes against humanity on March 4th. Can you talk about what impact this might have for peace and stability in Sudan?
Well, it's very hard to speculate at what the court might decide, or indeed at what reaction the authorities in Khartoum might have in response to a negative decision, a decision to actually issue an arrest warrant by the court itself. My own view is that there is much more leverage in the prospect of an arrest warrant than in the realization of one. Having said that, I'm not entirely sure that even if the court were to issue an arrest warrant, that would have such a damaging effect in Khartoum itself. Certainly the authorities would be shaken, and I'm not sure that over the long run, because I don't believe the Sudanese will deliver their sitting president to the International Criminal Court, that over the long term we'll see a crippling impact on peace and stability in Sudan.
So what type of policy recommendations would you argue the Obama administration should pursue in resolving conflict in the Sudan?
Well, I think before I talk about policy recommendations, I think we first need to establish where the administration needs to put its focus in Africa, its initial focus. And I believe Sudan and Somalia are areas of particular concern that require immediate attention, especially Sudan. The Democratic Republic of the Congo and Zimbabwe are part of a watching brief that will require continuing attention. The only way this can be done, in my view, is to strengthen the Department of State Africa Bureau on the one hand. It's a bureau that needs more people and much more money, probably larger embassy staffs in a number of countries. And at the same time the State Department is strengthening the Africa Bureau, it needs to follow through to provide the resources and people to the Office of the Secretary of State for Stabilization and Reconstruction so that the U.S. government has a serious, nimble civilian response capability to help prevent conflicts or to reconstruct and stabilize states that have fallen into conflicts. My third recommendation is that the already good U.S. focus on a multilateral approach to solutions in Africa should be enhanced. And this means working across the board, not only with the governments of like-minded countries, but with, for example, China that has an increasing stake in Africa, as my colleague David Shin outlined very recently in his remarks in this forum. In addition, we also need to see the United States working with specialized agencies of the United Nations and development agencies, as well as with non-governmental organizations that are active in Africa. Finally, I believe it would be good for the United States to seek a more mature relationship with key countries that themselves have potential role in stabilizing conflicts and bringing about peace. The classic example is the Republic of South Africa, where the U.S. has been essentially in an extended period of euphoria over the end of apartheid, and at this point needs to develop a much more mature approach, and indeed in some cases a critical approach, in South Africa. One way to do this, if I can preempt your next question, would be to help foster a larger role for civil society in South Africa itself.
Ambassador Carney, regarding the Sudan, what specific policy recommendations do you have for the Obama administration?
Well, as I suggest, Sudan needs to be very early in the focus of the Obama administration. And given that there's no U.S. ambassador in Khartoum and that circumstances, including a potential arrest warrant, make it unlikely that the new administration would accredit an ambassador to President Bashir, I strongly urge the very rapid appointment of a senior American special envoy to deal with the issues of Sudan and its immediate region.
Ambassador Carney, it was a pleasure talking with you today, and thank you for your contribution to our forthcoming CSIS publication. To read Ambassador Carney's chapter or view pre-publication drafts of any of our other chapters of this volume, please visit www.csis.org/Africa.